Edgar Carret is a literary celebrity in Israel. He's often called the country's hippest young writer. Carret's deadpan descriptions of life in Israel illuminate the everyday experiences of ordinary people, usually kids, who contemplate a world at once very funny and very sad. NPR's Netta Ulaby reports.
Edgar Carret's stories are often about struggles between people bonded together, whether they want to be or not. Take this one, called A Buck's Worth. It's among a few short stories animated by an American filmmaker who loves Carret's work. This story is about a therapist accosted by a homeless man who threatens to shoot himself in the head if he doesn't get a buck for a cup of coffee.
What you're doing here is completely unfair. And if you have to shoot yourself, it's tragic, but it has nothing to do with me. You hear? I'm not responsible.
You're absolutely right.
And here's what you're going to do. You're going to put that gun down, and you're going to ask for that buck like normal homeless people do. And I'll answer what I answer with no connection to your situation or this gun or anything else.
Okay.
Okay, what?
Would you please, sir, give me a dollar for a cup of coffee?
I'm sorry. If I give you the money, I'll feel manipulated. I'm just gonna go now. Okay.
Okay.
Maybe tomorrow.
People often read Edgar Carret's stories as parables about conflicts between different segments of Israeli society or with Palestinians, but he says he doesn't write them that way. It would be too obvious. Plus, he says it's hard to talk about politics without sounding trivial.
It's like saying to people, how about you be good and listen to other people and instead of being bad and ignoring them? You know, it's like you feel really stupid when you do that.
Carret learned that lesson from his own family, who could be characters in one of his stories. His parents fled Poland during the Holocaust, came to Israel, and had three kids. His brother is the eldest.
And he's the head of the legalized marijuana movement in Israel, a member of a group called Anarchists Against the Wall. And my sister is an ultra-Orthodox, and she has 11 children so far.
Edgar Carret has published essays in newspapers around the world about life in Israel, and his short story collections are domestic bestsellers. For a while, he worked on the Israeli equivalent of Saturday Night Live. Last year, Carret caused a mini-sensation in England when he published a book with a Palestinian author. Samir El-Yusuf lives in London. He says an Israeli and a Palestinian writer working together might sound like a big deal, but with Carret, it wasn't.
You find here a relaxed guy who could be very easily sitting in Beirut or Damascus or Cairo having coffee with an Egyptian writer or a Syrian writer or a Lebanese poet.
Their book, called Gaza Blues, isn't yet available in the United States. Yaron Peleg teaches contemporary Hebrew literature at George Washington University. He says Carret came of age during the Oslo Accords, a shimmering moment when many young people, Israelis and Palestinians, felt peace was close enough to taste.
And that had such a momentous effect on the culture, and I think Edgar Carret expresses that in his understanding that you need now to find a new paradigm, and how do you do that?
Carret says authors of his generation do that by being more Western.
We want to fight for the ability to be normal. We want to fight for the ability to talk about what's private. We want to fight for the ability just, you know, to talk about our emotions and not our emotions in a national context.
Edgar Carret also draws deeply from traditions of Jewish literature, from folkloric to experimental. His favorite writer is Franz Kafka, the author of the famous story about a fellow who wakes up as a giant cockroach. When Carret first read Kafka, he was serving in the army, as all young Israelis are required to do.
I was a horrible soldier. I would get punished all the time.
Carret says his commanding officers were annoyed by his tendency to constantly suggest better ways of doing things. So they made him guard computers in a dreary underground bunker.
You know, it was very, very lonely. It was very much like solitary confinement. So talking to rats and doing one-hand push-ups. And one day I even wrote a story, you know.
That story was called Pipes. Carret calls it a complaint letter to the universe. To an American, it reads a bit like Kafka mixed with J.D. Salinger. Here's Edgar Carret reading Pipes last year in Chicago.
When I got to the seventh grade, the head psychologist came to school and put us through a bunch of adjustment tests. He showed me 20 different flashcards, one by one, and asked me what was wrong with the pictures. Those seemed fine to me. But he insisted and showed me the first picture again, the one with the kid in it. "What's wrong with this picture?" he asked in a tired voice. I told him the picture seemed fine. He got really mad and said, "Can't you see the boy in the picture doesn't have any ears?" The truth is that when I looked at the picture again, I did see that the kid had no ears, but the picture still seemed fine to me.
The narrator gets placed in a vocational program where he builds pipes. One of them ends up leading to heaven, and he finds himself there among the angels. Carrot says that kind of escape fantasy holds little appeal. Life in Tel Aviv has its pressures, but he wouldn't live anywhere else.
I can fantasize about living in Sweden and being extremely bored. It doesn't seem like a bad deal, you know? But given the fact that I live in Israel, no.
Edgar Carrot's first collection of short stories is called The Bus Driver Who Wanted to Be God. His second, The Nimrod Flipout, will be published here in spring. Netta Ulaby, NPR News.
There are English translations of several stories by Edgar Carrot on our website, npr.org.